From WNIN, in collaboration with the Evansville Courier and Press, this is The Trend. I'm your host, Cass Harrington, and we're approaching two massive annual events here in Evansville, the YMCA Half Marathon, which demands a certain degree of athleticism, and the Westside Nut Club Fall Festival, which offers such delicacies as fried butter on a stick. So I thought for this week I would do a show on extremes in health and fitness. As you'll hear in today's interviews, there appears to be a growing interest in high-intensity, nearly punishing exercise. First, we'll take a trip to a CrossFit gym, or box as they're called. Then University of Evansville's director of the public health program will stop by and talk about the possible economic reasons for the raging interest in extreme fitness. And finally, we'll hear from a physical therapy clinic in town that is offering boxing lessons to clients with Parkinson's disease. But first, the news from NPR. Support for The Trend comes from members of the Local Programming Fund. I'm your host, Cass Harrington. We're taking a look at extremes in the fitness world today. There's a growing number of recreational athletes signing up for warrior dashes and Viking assaults. But a big driver behind this surge in high-intensity exercise is a regimen, or better described, a lifestyle, called CrossFit. I went to the local Evansville CrossFit box, as they're called, to see what its members had to say about the workout. Here's Andrea Payne, who's lost nearly 30 pounds since she started in April.
The first time I came, I just saw people working out and I left. And then Jared, he knew that I was coming because I had been corresponding with him and through email, and he saw me leave. So before I even made it back home, he emailed me. He's like, "What happened?" I told him that I was really intimidated. I was like, "I'm out of shape. I'm overweight. This is not for me." And he was like, "Yes, it is. We all started somewhere. You need to come back." He's like, we're here for you. We're going to get you. You know, everybody started at the bottom." And so I came back, and it's addicting. Every day, at least 3 to 4 times, if not 5 times a week, I'm here, and I love it.
That was Andrea Payne, a regular at Evansville CrossFit. And I'm Cass Harrington, joined now by CrossFit trainer Jared Wagner. He got started at Evansville CrossFit after being released from active duty in the Marine Corps in 2008. He served tours in both Iraq and Afghanistan. The landscape's kind of changed in Evansville. There are new concepts popping up, and CrossFit's one of them. I mean, along with the rest of the country, but yeah.
Very true.
Maybe you can help walk me through this. How did you first get started?
I first got started in CrossFit when I got out of the Marines. I didn't hear about it while I was in the Corps. When I got out, my buddy said, "Hey, you ever heard of CrossFit? One just opened up here in Evansville." I was like, "No, never heard of it." He's like, "Well, you need to come with me one time." So I went with him, and I got hooked day one. I still remember the workout I did, and it was brutal, and that's what got me hooked.
And a friend of yours introduced you.
Yes.
Okay. And when you came back from the Marine Corps, what were you looking for?
Well, the void, I guess you're referring to the void that CrossFit kind of filled when I got out of the Corps, just the camaraderie. Like having a purpose, you know, it was hard adjusting back to civilian life, coming back to the old high school friends and stuff like that, especially being in the military with your brothers, you know, going through stuff that we went through. First day I went to CrossFit, you know, people are cheering you on. People are hurting just as bad as you are through the workout. You know, it builds that camaraderie, that's, you know, that sense of purpose that, you know, I kind of lost when I got out of the Corps, and, you know, CrossFit filled that void of having a sense of purpose, being on a team, being part of a team. And that's the one of the number one reasons why I got addicted to CrossFit.
Wow. So more so than the fitness aspect.
Yeah, yeah. I always say the community is, that's what draws people into CrossFit, not just the workouts, but you actually have to come and experience it for yourself and just see how awesome the people are that are doing it. The people are welcoming when you walk in the door. They'll come up and introduce themselves to you. They push you, and that's what's so awesome about it, is you show up and you're already motivated just by the people there doing CrossFit with you.
Well, I can't help but be a little struck when you say pain. Yeah, they're going through the pain with you.
Well, yeah, CrossFit is hard. I mean, it's very tough. It's a tough workout, and when you get doing it in a group, you tend to push yourself a little more. You know, our gym, we blare loud music, so your adrenaline's going. You know, you find a song that you like, you know, you automatically want to run faster. You automatically want to try to be better just by just the music. We drop barbells. We work in the elements, meaning we have garage doors open in the hot of the summer. You know, that's, and it makes you sweat. And people are pushing you, telling you to go harder, go faster. And it does. It's a, puts your body through some pain, which that's what draws you in. It's like the next day you feel great. You feel muscle soreness. And all of a sudden you're like, I want to do that again. And so you just keep coming back.
That sounds so terribly masochistic. What's going on there? Because, you know, the reason why I wanted to talk to you is, okay, we can't avoid the fact Evansville's been brought into some national discussions about yes. obesity, and that's the ugly thing in the room. So where does this aggression, just the total opposite side of the spectrum? Well, aggressive, I mean, exercise.
People share in the same aspect of they want to be fit, they want to be better, they're tired of living how they live, you know, they want to change in their life. And a lot of people get that through exercise. You know, that's why people do yoga. You know, it's very peaceful, it's calming to them, and this is just a different way of, you know, relieving the stress of the day, is by throwing weight around, you know, with a group of people. It's just fun.
Well, I mean, the first thing you see when you see CrossFit things online is people flipping tractor tires mm-hmm. and doing things with ginormous industrial ropes, and so I wanted to understand why the interest in that bigger, faster, you know, Viking runs, mud runs, running over hot coals. Like, what, where is this interest or this niche coming from?
Well, people, I think, like the mud runs, that sparks a lot of interest in people. You know, it makes people motivated to get out there and go do something. You know, some people may not like the run, but they like to get dirty. So they'll go do a mud run, even if they don't like running. Because, I mean, it's not a full-fledged run, but you're going over obstacles. It gives you a sense of accomplishment, you know, completing something like this. Even with just a CrossFit workout, a sense of accomplishment. I mean, just flipping inanimate objects, lifting inanimate objects, you know, that's... CrossFit you can do anywhere. You don't have to be in a CrossFit gym to do CrossFit. You know, I have a set of rings in my backyard in a tree. I just go over there and start doing muscle-ups or ring pull-ups or, you know, whatever I feel like doing that, so I can do with a set of rings.
You can do your workout of the day or WOD
absolutely.
Anywhere.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, you don't have to be just strictly a gym goer or a CrossFitter in a gym to do CrossFit. You can, if you have tires outside that you're not using, flip a tire. I mean, that's the great thing about it. I've seen a guy online, his car broke down on the side of the road. He started doing box jumps on his bumper, just jumping up on his bumper and jumping off. And he sent it into the CrossFit main page, which is pretty cool. I mean, you can literally do it anywhere.
You're listening to The Trend on 88.3 WNIN-FM. Support for the program today comes from Raybon Tire and Auto Service, a proud sponsor of WNIN programming. Raybon offers a selection of tire brands, including Michelin and Goodyear, along with complete auto service and recommended maintenance by trained technicians. Information is on the web at raybontire.com. And I'm Cass Harrington, joined by CrossFit trainer Jared Wagner. So essentially, the reason why it's caught on is it disrupts routine.
Yes.
Is what you're saying.
Yes. I mean, I like it because, especially in the military, police, firemen, it, like I said, it prepares you for the unknown, the unknowable. Doing CrossFit, you're not specifically doing one thing. Mm-hmm. Our specialty is not specializing. And that's why it prepares you for anything that you're going to get yourself into, whether it's military-based, police-based, or fireman-based. Physically, you're going to have more confidence getting over an obstacle.
Well, what about concerns that this exercise might be too extreme?
I always tell new clients, you know, what's the prescribed, how many times are you supposed to do this a week, or, you know, do you come certain days? And I tell people, I'm not a doctor. You know, I can't tell you when to come. I tell you to listen to your body. Know the difference between muscle soreness and, you know, something that's hurt, you know, that could further damage your body. And, you know, you're going to live in a state of soreness because you're constantly doing something different. So as long as you can tell the difference between muscle soreness and being hurt, then you can come as many times as you want. But just listen to your body. If you feel fatigued, if it's taking its toll on you, you know, take a day off. And there's no reason why. I mean, just give your body rest. And some people don't even take, they'll take maybe one day off a week, which I wouldn't tell anybody new to do that. But, you know, your body needs to heal. Taking a day off, it's not going to mess you up.
Do you recommend it to clients who are obese and maybe frustrated?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We have many success stories at our gym. We call our gym, it's a CrossFit gym, but we like to go away from the global lingo of calling it a gym, so we call it a box. Mm-hmm. So at our box, you know, we have many success stories. People see it on TV and they think, you know, I have to be in shape to do this. You don't have to be in shape to run. You don't have to be in shape to lift weights. You just have to be committed to go and have that mindset of you want to better yourself. You know, that's why people plateau at a gym, is because, you know, they get into a routine. CrossFit's not going to do that to you. And obese people, that they seem to be a little more intimidated by it, mm-hmm. just because they see these monsters on TV throwing this heavy weight around. And, you know, that's not the case. All I can tell you is just stop by, watch a class, perform in a class, and you'll see that this is why people are having so much success with it, with weight loss and just being more fit.
And you have one success story in a client I'm going to talk to, actually. He lost 100 pounds?
A little over 100 pounds. His name is Derek Knight. And I always, any new person that comes to the class that he's in, I always stop the class. I always have everybody introduce themselves to somebody new. That way they feel welcome, they feel at home. That kind of takes that intimidation factor away. And I always have Derek tell his success story.
It's been about a year and a half now I've been doing CrossFit. I was just tired of being fat. So that's why I came here. It's a good way to take out frustration. I deal with a lot of stuff at work, so I always look forward to my 5:30 WOD every day. You know, if I don't come, I feel horrible. Like, I feel bad about myself. You know, those days where I'll see, oh, there's a ton of running, and I'm like, oh, I don't want to go. But by the time 5:30 comes, I'm here, you know, because I got to be here. You know, they expect me to be here. You know, if I'm not here, I get a Facebook message or I get a text message from somebody saying, hey, where were you at? You know, when they say you join CrossFit, you're drinking the Kool-Aid, basically, because it's like a cult mentality, because once you start it, it's all you think about. I mean, literally, you go home and you watch videos on how to get better at deadlifts, toes to bar, double unders, you know, the exercises we do in here.
That was Evansville CrossFit client Derek Knight, who lost nearly 135 pounds working out at the box. I'm Cass Harrington, and today we're talking to Evansville CrossFit trainer Jared Wagner, who started doing the exercise when he returned from active duty in the Marine Corps. And so you said you have 100 clients now, about 100?
Yeah, roughly, right around 100.
And I mean, how do people get into it? Is it just word of mouth, or have you been going out?
A lot of it is people hear about it from other family members or friends. Not, you know, some here in Evansville, others, you know, hey, you know, my brother told me about this, and he joined a box up in Indianapolis, and he told me about it. He's like, he's addicted to it. He told me to try it out, see if there's a box around here. You know, and people Google it, and hey, Evansville CrossFit pops up. That's how most of the word of mouth gets out. We've had advertised on radio stations, TV. Most people are just, you know, tired of the day in, day out routine of Global Gym. They see this on TV, CrossFit. You know, they've heard about it but never really looked into it, and that's how, you know, they just stop in. Usually after that first day, they're like, oh man, like this is what I was looking for. You know, this ain't like being at a Global Gym, you know.
It's not like being on a Stairmaster for 30 minutes.
Yeah. Very true.
Yeah, that's kind of like my last question is, I've seen CrossFit kind of ideology creep into different areas mm-hmm. of fitness and health, you know.
Oh, yeah.
High intensity and paleo is becoming very popular in all different gyms and boxes, if you will. So how do you think CrossFit is affecting fitness? And what do you think's ahead in the next 5-10 years?
Well, I think people have seen so much response with CrossFit. That's what they started intermingling into their workouts. Instead of doing the slow, heavy lifting of going into a gym, you know, people... CrossFit, if you take the mindset of a bodybuilder and a mindset of an endurance runner, we're that in between. You know, we're able to lift heavy weight and we're able to run long distances. You know, and people say, well, what do you do to work out? We lift weights. Well, what do you do for cardio or your endurance? We lift weights faster.
Well, something you said to me too is about routine, or routine being the enemy. What about that?
Yes. Most people, when they go to a gym, you know, with weight machines, that type of thing, they put their headphones in, they look at themselves in the mirror, and they get, like, Mondays back and buys, Tuesdays chest and tries, you know, followed by a little bit of running afterwards. You know, your body realizes that. You're getting into yourself into a routine, and you're eventually going to plateau. And with CrossFit, you're doing something different every day. You're lifting a different body part. You're doing a different movement. You know, you could be doing heavy lifting one day and then doing something more endurance-wise the next day.
Is it fair to say confusing your
muscles? Yes, you're just confusing your muscles, and your body's just trying to keep up. Mm-hmm. I mean, your body's literally saying, what is this guy doing to me? You know, and that's what you want. That's where you see results, not getting into a routine. And that's what CrossFit does. It trains you for the unknown, the unknowable. You know, you see better results, but keep in mind having good form while doing it. And that's another thing that CrossFit is huge on, is just watching range of motion, watching your form. Because this, with any other sport, you can get hurt doing CrossFit. And that's why there are level 1 instructors in each class making sure that form is executed properly. Because it's easy to have good form doing slow, meticulous reps when you're focusing on form. But you know, put a clock in there for time with that movement. You know, people start getting tired very quickly. Form starts going, you know, that's where error could come into play about getting hurt.
AMRAP, what is that? Can you tell me about it?
As many rounds as possible.
What?
That's what AMRAP. There's a lot of acronyms in CrossFit, and you won't learn them all at once, but AMRAP is as many rounds as possible in a certain amount of time. Like, say you're doing a 12-minute AMRAP of 5 handstand push-ups, 10 sit-ups, 15 pull-ups. You're going to try to complete that rep sequence as many times and, you know.
In an amount of time.
If you don't. In a certain amount of time.
It's not to failure. It's
you're just recording your rounds of the 10 or the 5, the 10, the 15. See how many rounds you get of that in 15 minutes. And we have a RFT, which is rounds for time. You're doing a prescribed amount of rounds, like 6 rounds for time. Huh. See how long you can do 6 rounds of the 5 to 10, 15 reps in a certain...
CrossFit is a language and a culture all of its
own. Yeah, it sure is, but, I mean, that's a great thing about it. Can't get enough of it.
Well, thank you for talking with me, Jared.
Absolutely.
How did you change your body? I mean, like, just really working out?
Mm-hmm.
Could you take...
I did martial arts a lot and full contact karate and weights.
Could anybody do that? Could you take these two here?
We're going to shift gears for just a moment and hear from a physical therapist, Jan Stamps. She owns Rehab for Life.
So what were you saying about Rocksteady? Why is it? What's the hope for Rocksteady?
The hope for our Rocksteady program is that there's really nothing like it in the tri-state, and that's why we named it the Tri-State Rocksteady Program, because people are going to travel from all over because there is nothing like it. And so we really are looking for a program that's going to bring people to the area to further their mobility and their function, and that's why we started this program.
Well, when you heard about it, what was your initial reaction? Because for me, it was a little startling.
Well, we were pretty excited. The program came to us. We had a patient that had Parkinson's, and he came in and he said, would you do this? And he had seen it from a boxing campaign that was here in the area. And Rocksteady from Indianapolis, the program came down and he said, we need something like that here. And he said, he came to us and said, would you do it? And I looked at him and said, you bet. And so that's how this all came to be.
And have you seen success stories so far?
We've seen a lot of success stories. And what we've been looking at with the case studies that are going on, and we hope to pattern that as well, is we see people that are at a very low functioning level. And through the program and through the muscle training and re-education, we are able to take them to a much higher level of functioning through their muscle retraining and re-ed. And it really enhances the quality of their everyday life, and that's what we're trying to do with the program.
Thanks, Jan. Well, I didn't give you background on the show. The theme is extreme trends in fitness, which this is hardly extreme, but it's that high-intensity movement that is what's key. But going back to our conversation earlier, you say you see a lot of cross-sections of different athletes here.
We do.
Yeah, so in terms of extreme fitness...
Mm-hmm.
That was Jan Stamps, a physical therapist and owner of Rehab for Life. And I'm Cass Harrington. You're listening to The Trend. So I'm here with Dr. Payal Patel Devladabadi. She's an assistant professor of public health, and she's the director of the public health program at the University of Evansville. And also, you helped expand the university's nutrition program, right?
Yes, that's correct.
All right.
Happy to be here.
Thank you. So today we are wedged between two starkly contrasting events, the annual Fall Festival and the annual Half Marathon. So I thought it would be appropriate to do a show on extremes in health and what two things couldn't be more different, where you can go have such delicacy as a fried Twinkie or run 13 miles. Well, have you been to Fall Festival?
I have been. I've been in Evansville for 2 years now, so I did go my very first year, and I was shocked to the abundance of unhealthy foods that were served at Fall Fest.
Did you have something?
I did have something. I did try a very small piece of a fried Twinkie. So, yes, it was delicious, but not something I would eat on a daily basis.
You know, I thought that this notion of extremes, there seems to be a growing interest in high-intensity training, in very rigorous exercise, like CrossFit or Viking assault races or warrior dashes. And I have an article here. Someone, this was back in March, someone actually died from the extreme rampage race in Kentucky. So there is an extreme here.
Right.
And I think it warrants being kind of understood as what is a good medium.
Right. And you're absolutely right. There are a lot of individuals who partake in vigorous, excessive exercise. And I want to kind of relate this back to more on a psychological basis. So for example, there's been sporadic evidence relating endorphins to excess vigorous exercise. Some research supports the association, whereas other research does not. But the research that does support the association between the release of endorphins and vigorous exercise essentially states that when you engage in extreme exercise, you're essentially feeling euphoria and kind of that runner's high, for example. And so that's actually what gets individuals engaging in excess vigorous exercise. And it's actually known as a condition called exercise dependence that a lot of individuals experience. And so it's important to note that, we have two ends. We have those who have a sedentary lifestyle and then those who engage in more vigorous excessive exercise. So it's really important to kind of find that medium and make sure that you're having the proper nutritional balance and you're not accessing too many calories and not intaking enough calories as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting that the body can be addicted to the endorphins floating around in your body after working out.
Right, absolutely. Well, and a lot of individuals kind of get addicted to this. Sometimes some psychologists have actually said that excessive exercise can be an addiction, and it can be an addiction to the point that it ruins the individual's health, the health of the family around them. It can ruin family relationships, work habits, everything. It gets to the point where these individuals plan their daily activities around their actual workout.
So their priorities change.
Exactly. Their priorities, life priorities change even. So well, it's a big issue.
How can someone define, you know, what is, you know, a healthy balance of exercise? I mean, it seems like it's a slippery slope.
It is.
Almost.
And we have to realize that everyone's body is made uniquely. So what could be my tolerance would not be the same as your tolerance. So we have to be able to define what our tolerance of exercise really is. For some, it can be a 30-minute aerobic workout 5 days a week. For others, it could be a one-hour aerobic workout five days a week. So really, we need to first define what our tolerance is and not exceed that tolerance level.
Is this associated to economics or people's frustration with maybe unemployment or, you know, a stagnant economy, and they want to do something to either let out that frustration or see some results?
Right. I would think so. Here I'm going to use what's called the transference effect. So essentially any type of frustration, stress we may be feeling maybe with work or other just life-related events, you tend to take that stress out or frustration out on something else, which is essentially transferring it to something else. And in this case, a lot of people transfer it to workouts and extreme workouts in that sense. So I would definitely think there's some sort of economic component related to it.
Yeah, the frustration, it reminds me of something that I went to a CrossFit gym, and I interviewed a client there, and he lost 130 pounds. And I asked him, you know, why did you make that decision to get off the couch and start exercising? Because essentially he didn't have like a middle ground. He just went from couch to gym.
Okay.
And he lost all that weight. And I said, so what motivated you to do that? And he said, I was just sick of being fat.
And that's actually a really good example you give. And that goes back to the stages of change model. So when someone who does have, say, a sedentary lifestyle and just tired of having that, right, they want to engage in behavior, and the stages of change model essentially states the types of stages people go through when engaging in behavioral change. So for this individual, he went from couch to CrossFit. And for him, a workout like CrossFit is really important because it not only increases his endurance and stamina, but it creates the sense of community and belonging. It's really important for people going from one extreme to another to have that sense of community. Otherwise, they're very likely to relapse.
That was huge. In all of the interviews I've done for this program, community was a big part of it.
Right. You need that social support system in place. Otherwise, you're very likely to go back to your old habits and relapse. So I feel like that's one of the reasons that CrossFit, a lot of people are engaging more and more in CrossFit type activities.
Or maybe those races too, just being with other people.
Exactly. It makes a difference.
That's interesting. So do you get the sense that maybe this is just the pendulum swinging in the opposite direction? Evansville was deemed like the fattest city in 2011.
Right.
And so now we're seeing this kind of surge in extreme activity. Do you think we will find that middle?
I think we will. I think the number of individuals who are engaging in extreme vigorous exercise is far less than the number of people who do have that medium and adequate balance. Mm-hmm. So I do think that we will have that balance. We won't necessarily have a large number of individuals who have a sedentary lifestyle, and also a large number of individuals who engage in that vigorous exercise. And also it's important to remember that those who do engage in that vigorous exercise, maybe that is their tolerance level. Maybe that's the amount of exercise that they're supposed to partake in. They are intaking proper nutritional vitamins and minerals and are intaking the proper calories. So maybe that is their type of tolerance.
You're listening to The Trend on 88.3 WNIN and streaming online at WNIN.org. Still ahead, we'll hear from a 71-year-old Parkinson's patient who is boxing to treat his symptoms. Back to my conversation with Dr. Payal Patel Dovladabadi, a professor of public health and nutrition at the University of Evansville.
Oh, yeah.
So going back to that community notion, mm-hmm. Does that have anything to do with motivational psychology?
Yes, absolutely. And it kind of goes back to the relapse that I was talking about. So when someone is wanting to engage in a behavioral change, you need motivation. You need motivation from your peers, from your friends, families, coworkers, whatever it may be, in order to successfully engage in that behavioral change. And according, again, to the stages of change model, a person has completely changed their behavior if they've been in that behavior change for at least 6 months. So I completely think so. By having that community and social support system in place, mm-hmm. that's essentially motivating the individual to engage in that behavioral change. And wanting to engage in a behavioral change, you need motivation. You need motivation from your peers, from your friends, families, coworkers, whatever it may be, in order to successfully engage in that behavioral change. And according, again, to the stages of change model, a person has completely changed their behavior if they've been in that behavior change for at least 6 months. So I completely think so. By having that community and social support system in place, mm-hmm. that's essentially motivating the individual to engage in that behavioral mm-hmm. change. And
so, yes, another trend I've been seeing that ties into that community is an online community, mm-hmm. of like a forum where it's primarily younger women have been posting photos of themselves and looking for motivation or encouragement from other girls from around the world. And they're called Fitspo and Thinspo blogs, essentially right. Fit Inspiration, Thin Inspiration. Right. Have you seen these and what's going on there?
I have come across the types of blogs that you're talking about, and I feel like the initial purpose of the blog is to be positive, obviously, to motivate individuals to lead a healthier lifestyle and engage in behavioral change. But the effect that it's having on the population is somewhat negative. The blogs somehow conveys the message that you're essentially comparing yourself to others, and that's obviously very unhealthy and very counterproductive. Rather than motivating someone, it may be actually leading to a decrease in self-esteem. And, you know, it has pictures of maybe thin, lean.
Very thin.
Very thin, very lean, mm-hmm. Men and women. You know, obviously, when you see something like that, you're going to feel somewhat of a decrease in self-esteem. Our bodies are made very uniquely. We all have unique proportions, unique fat storage, and things like that. So I feel like that's the message they're lacking to convey. The message they're conveying is that you should compare yourself to this picture right here, mm-hmm. rather than stating that you yourself are a unique individual. I feel like the purpose was meant to be positive, but it's really having a negative effect,
yeah.
maybe, on
well,
the population.
I've read this, a critic called it an eating disorder with a sports bra. And
right, yeah.
And I wonder too, I mean, does that cycle of exercise kind of fuel that obsession with food as well?
Mm-hmm. I would think so. I really would. When you're exercising, as I mentioned before, it's very important to engage in proper nutritional intake. And a lot of folks who exercise may not be engaging in that proper nutritional intake. And there are, going back to the FISPO blog, there are others who may be engaging in binge eating mm-hmm. and then essentially exercising that much just to relieve that caloric intake.
So we're talking about two extremes here, inactivity, mm-hmm. and we've been mostly talking about overactivity, too much exercise, an imbalance. What, I mean, is there enough said or enough being discussed about the middle, about balance?
I don't think so, actually. A large majority of the population are not just aware, you know, aware of maybe how many calories are in a serving or how many grams of fat are in a serving. Many people are not aware of how to read a nutritional label. So it really comes down to kind of education, knowledge, and awareness. So educating the population about healthy eating, caloric intake, caloric outtake, kind of finding that balance, the types of proper nutritional values that you should intake. And I feel like that is, from a public health standpoint, I feel like that's the main approach to take, to kind of take those who have a very sedentary lifestyle and kind of move them toward the medium, and then also those who are engaging in vigorous exercise who may not be getting the proper nutritional values to educate them as well.
CrossFit in particular, they promote the paleo diet.
Yes, they do.
Do you, as a nutritionist, have a view of paleo?
The paleo diet, to my knowledge, is mostly more on a grain-free diet where you eat more meats.
And fat.
And fats, right. And, of course, essential fatty acids are very, very important to the body. So, of course, with any type of diet, there are critics and there are advocates. Mm-hmm. So, in my opinion, I think the paleo diet is actually a very good diet. Mm-hmm. You're intaking proper protein, you're intaking the proper amounts of fat, and I think that those two things are very important for the body.
Good to sustain that high-intensity training.
Absolutely.
Well, what could someone who is, back to that other story, someone who is, you know, sick of being fat, mm-hmm. I mean, and CrossFit is maybe not for them, like what...
Right.
What's a good way to start or a good place to look for this information?
There are a number of websites. For example, you could go to the CDC. It has various informations on the types and amounts of servings of each food category that you should intake. And really the best step is to take it one step at a time. Obviously, you don't need to go from the couch to CrossFit, but just engaging in 30 minutes of walking or 1 hour of walking per day, making sure you're getting more fruits and vegetables into your diet and eliminating the unnecessary trans fatty acids and things like that. So it really comes down to taking it step by step.
Nutrition, it seems that there's so many different disciplines and understandings mm-hmm. of eating healthy and eating right. I mean, we mentioned paleo.
Right.
And how it's not the one that the USDA generally accepts. We hear about low fat and whole grain, and
right.
paleo is obviously not. How can you navigate through all of this information?
Right. And it's actually really difficult. I mean, there are so many types of diets, like the paleo diet, whether you're vegan, vegetarian, or on a raw food diet. So sometimes it's more of a personal preference that people who are on these individual diets tend to take. But it's just, again, on the CDC, it has the daily recommendations of the types of fatty acids and things like that you really need to intake. Most of the people who are on paleo and things like that are in kind of that extreme workout phase at the same time.
Dr. Payal Patel Dovladavadi, thank you so much for coming today. Enjoyed talking with you.
Thank you so much for having me.
You keep a lot of secrets, and I keep none. I could go back and keep some. You're fireproof, nothing breaks your heart. You're fireproof, it's just the way you are. You tell me you're waiting.
We're going to stop right here and catch our breath for just a second with Mayor Lloyd Winicky. You said now that the hotel vote is over, you're going to have a little more time to exercise. And I wanted to hear, in your own words, what that was going to look like for you.
I used to be a more frequent exerciser until I took office. I've sort of run in peaks and valleys, and I'm in a little bit of a valley right now, so I need to get back on it and carve out time. One of the things I do on a semi-regular basis is jump rope. I was given a speed rope, so every once in a while when I'm a little low in energy, I'll get my jump rope out and jump rope for a minute just to get the blood pumping.
Do you find after a round of jumping rope it kind of helps you clear your head or be more productive?
It does. I feel like I usually get a burst of energy that I badly need. Of course, I have to catch my breath first. But once I do that, I do feel like I'm invigorated, and it's a good little exercise. I just have to make sure I clear the chairs out of the way so I don't hit any furniture.
And you introduced a program called Energize Evansville. How's that going?
I'm really pleased with the fact that we get new faces month in and month out. We've done everything from boot camps, which are personally very difficult for me to do, I think the rewarding thing for me about Energize Evansville is that we get people who have not exercised in some cases in many years, and they're starting to exercise now. They realize that awareness of their own physical fitness and their health is important, and this has given them a platform to improve their life, change some lifestyle features which have previously not been healthy for them, and really start to turn their life around.
Mm. And why has this been a priority for you as mayor?
It's been a priority for me because during our mayoral campaign, the infamous USA Today survey came out, which judged Evansville as the most obese city in the country. And, I mean, it just was so personally and community insulting that we thought it was important to come up with a program that gave people an opportunity to come out and exercise for free under the guidance of professional trainers, fitness trainers, and the fact that we're using a city facility exposes them to the assets the city has and gives them an opportunity to train with trainers for free.
I'm Cass Harrington, and you just heard a clip from Mayor Lloyd Winicky about Energize Evansville, an initiative he started to encourage residents to get active and increase access to health programs. We're approaching the finish line on today's trend, but before you throw in the towel, this next story is a lighter interpretation of the word extreme, a cool down, if you will. I'm here with Brady Frazier. She's an assistant physical therapist at Rehab for Life. It's a physical therapy center that offers a special boxing program for Parkinson's patients. Thanks for joining me, Brady. But before we get into that, can you first tell me about Rehab for Life and its unique approach to physical therapy?
We actually have hands-on treatment with the patients. We get in there, get to know our patients. We're more of a community versus a clinic. We help our patients in various ways, such as socially, physically, with their pain, with their general weakness. We're just, if you ask anybody who comes here, we are not your traditional therapy. They feel more at home here than they do anywhere else.
So the boxing classes for Parkinson's patients, where did that combination come from? I thought that was so surprising when I first heard about it.
We are just now getting off the ground. The one in Indy has been going since 2006, and it was actually founded by a former general attorney, Scott Newman. And he got diagnosed with Parkinson's at age 40. And a friend of his was a former boxer and said, you know, we got to do something. You are losing everything that you had. We have to do something. So they started boxing. And there's a study that shows that forced intense exercise is what really improves their quality of life. It improves their symptoms. And so that's what he started doing, was boxing. And he all of a sudden was miraculously getting better and better and better. And then his hands stopped tremoring because of the muscle recruitment that he was getting from the hitting the bag.
Now, this is the only Rock Steady program in the tri-state. How did your clinic hear about it?
We had a client come in and say, I have Parkinson's. I want to do this program. Can you help me? And we researched it. We went up to Indianapolis, which is the founding Rock Steady program. And we went through the training course. It is a very, very unique program, and that is focused solely on the community of people with Parkinson's. So they get that likeness, that camaraderie of having someone there who's going through the exact same things that they are. And it's forced intense exercise that makes them feel like they are doing something, that they are a part of something, and it's working on everything that they're losing. I'm excited for you guys to be able to hear and see what we're doing.
Awesome. Well, let's do that.
Let's do that. In your boxing stance.
You're backing up too far.
I know. I'm afraid you're going to get me. You ready?
Yeah.
All right. 1, 2. 1, 2. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3, 4.
The client's depression is getting a lot better with being able to do this because they feel like they have a sense of purpose. They are doing something actively to fight back against their Parkinson's.
1, 2. All right. How are you feeling?
Okay.
All right.
Good.
He hits pretty good.
Yeah. 71-year-old Walter Finkston is punching Brady's mitts. His hands tremor inside of his leather boxing gloves, and he can only manage to answer my questions with one or two words at a time.
So have you noticed a difference since you started coming here, Walter?
Yes.
How so?
Hard question. Good question, but it's hard. Fix me today. Flexibility. Parkinson's seems to be improving. The boxing helps, I think.
How can you tell?
I really can't. Just feels. Feel better when you go out the door than when you came in.
Do you feel like your tremor is getting better?
I really can't say that.
Can't say that?
For positive.
What did your wife say about your walking the other day?
I'm walking much better.
You ready to roll?
I'm ready.
All right. 1, 2. 1, 2. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Big movements are very key to people with Parkinson's because their movements become very small. Their voices become very soft. They just basically almost close in on themselves. And so by doing these very large movements, it challenges their balance. It helps with their posture. It helps with their muscle recruitment so that they are better able to do those different types of things. And it is focusing on everything that they're losing. The gym, if you come in, it's very loud. It's very boisterous. We make sure that they use their voices and they use their frustrations against Parkinson's to be able to hit the bag as hard as they can, and that really helps with their muscles.
10 1-2s. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Good. How you doing?
Okay.
Okay?
Breathe would help, wouldn't it?
Yeah, make sure you got to breathe. Don't want you passing out on me. In through your nose, out through your mouth. Feeling okay?
Yeah.
Need to rest for a minute?
No.
Okay.
Do you?
I might. You're wearing me out. Now you're going to give me 10 hooks.
Okay.
Okay? Make sure you're breathing with each punch. So, shh, shh, shh. Got it?
Got it.
All right, 10 of them.
It gets really emotional. At the course that we went to, I actually went up there twice, and the first time I went up there, there was a gentleman who, when they first brought him in, he was in a wheelchair. The nursing home pushed him out in the hallway and left him there all day. His children were like, there has to be something better for him. They found the Rocksteady program. When I came, he'd been there for about 6 months. He was walking unassisted. He was talking. He was laughing. He was rolling on the floor.
Got motivation.
Yeah. We're going to rest for just a minute.
With a smile on your face.
Exactly. That's the thing that everybody has whenever they
mean.
Leave.
Supposed to look mean when you're boxing.
You don't look mean. That's what everybody has whenever they do this, is a smile on their face whenever they leave.
Yeah.
Yep. Definitely.
It works.
You just did 2 rounds of boxing. How do you feel compared to when you walked in?
Better.
Really?
Yeah. You get the adrenaline flowing, it makes you feel better. Endorphins, whatever they are, that's what we're working for.
You feel it already?
Yeah. It don't last long, but it feels good while it lasts.
As a therapist, we are constantly more safety-minded, and boxing is not necessarily safety, but this is non-contact boxing, so there's absolutely no
head injuries or anything like that, but I was very apprehensive of how is this going to work with the clients that I am thinking of, but it does, and they love it.
Walter, have you done boxing before this?
Just played around as a kid. Yeah.
Is this fun for you?
Yes.
Did you watch a lot of boxing growing up?
Yes.
Yeah. Who?
Ollie. Big fan of Ollie.
Gonna get our rocking music going before long.
Really?
That was Walter Finkston, who participates in regular boxing sessions at Rehab for Life. We've reached the end of today's trend, but as always, it's not the end of the conversation. Rehab for Life's Brady Frazier says the Rocksteady program wants to expand so that doctors in the tri-state will begin to prescribe the workout to Parkinson's patients. The Evansville Half Marathon is on Saturday. Team WNIN will be racing against the Courier and Press. And if we win, Courier and Press runners have to answer the phones during our fall pledge drive. If you want more information about a person or project mentioned on today's program, visit the trends page at WNIN.org. If you liked a song you heard on today's show, you can find the playlist on our website. Thanks for listening. The Trend is a production of WNIN in collaboration with the Evansville Courier and Press. This episode was produced by myself with help from Ryan Reynolds at the Courier and Press. Tony Voss provides production support, and the theme music was written by the talented Jeffrey Osman. I'm Cass Harrington. This is WNIN-FM, Evansville, Henderson, and Owensboro.